Refresh.
Hey, what's up, you guys? It's your boy, the Muffin Man, coming back at you again with another episode of Refresh Podcast. I am so incredibly excited to be back with you guys on another incredible Monday morning. I hope your morning has been off to just an absolutely incredible start. I pray that you are having an amazing day so far. I am so excited to announce to you that we have a brand new series today. But before we jump into that, let's open up in prayer and get this party started. Father, I just thank you so much for the opportunity to speak to your people. God, I pray that you would just use these words, Lord, to plant seeds in our hearts, God. Father, I pray that this harvest would begin to take place, Lord, from these seeds that you're planting inside of us today. God, that you would water them at the appointed times that they are meant to be watered. And God, that you would use them to further our life and our understanding, that we would our lives would be pushed closer to you, Lord, and because you are intimately involved in all of our ways. God, I pray that you would just open up our hearts and our ears today. We receive a word from you. Father, we thank you and we give you the highest praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Guys, I am incredibly excited to announce to you a brand new series here on Refresh Podcast called Why Jesus Christ. This is episode one of Why Jesus Christ. The inspiration of this series came from a conversation with one of my buddies at work. He listened to last week's I'm Hungry, and he mentioned how it was super relatable for him because he had been in that moment where he had been hungry before, but you know that he struggled with some of the more biblically in-depth episodes, and he really didn't have a background of faith or an understanding of church and of Jesus and all of those different things. You know, he just kind of thought that, you know, religion was just based on whatever somebody wanted to think and they can do what they want to do. And it really had me thinking, man, how many others out there are just like him? And the series of Why Jesus Christ surfaced, and I'm like, man, I gotta do this. Like, I gotta teach this. Why Jesus Christ? Why should we choose Jesus Christ? Why should we follow Jesus Christ? And so, over the next 5 weeks, we're going to be covering from so many different angles of choosing to follow and why choosing to follow Jesus Christ is not only the best choice, but the only choice. Today, I want to introduce you to my best friend. Give me a drum roll, please. His name is Jesus Christ, and he's known for many things. But today, I want to highlight that Jesus Christ came to be your Redeemer. See, so for you to be able to understand how Jesus Christ came into the scene to be your Redeemer, I have to start in the beginning, right? What better place to start than in the beginning? So follow along with me, guys. I am going to do my absolute best not to totally fangirl over Jesus and lose you. But look, just follow along with me. I'm going to recap at the end and simplify it for you, but I'm going to lay it all on a table for you. So check this out. It all starts in the beginning. In the book of Genesis, God is creating everything in the beginning of the book of Genesis, that he is establishing purposes, and then he is creating the best things possible to fill those roles, to fulfill those purposes. You know, he's like, man, I just want something to illuminate the sky. Okay, I'm going to create light to do that. Hey, light, I want you to illuminate the sky. I want you to bring light into the world. Hey, light, do that, and you're really good at it. This is the very best light that I have. This is the best light that I had. This light is good. And, you know, then he created the skies and the waters and, you know, he separated those guys. And then he created the sun and the moon and the stars and he created the life, you know, the birds and the fish and the animals. And so on day six, he created man. And it says in Genesis 1:26, then God said, let us make man in our image. So time out, that word our image, he's talking about all three of them. He's talking about God, he's talking about Jesus Christ, and he's talking about Holy Spirit. Because it is very important to understand that all three of those are one person. They are called the Trinity. They are the Godhead, the three in one. Just like men's body wash, the three in one, right? So you got God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, and Holy Spirit is our God-given power here on earth to help us operate in God's power. And so He says, "Let us make man in our image and according to our likeness, and let them rule over all of these things that I just created." You know, for man to come onto the scene, God created him to oversee everything on earth that he created. And nothing was off limits to man except for a tree. So, you know, within this time frame, God had created Eve from Adam because he didn't want Adam to be lonely. He wanted him to have a helper to help him oversee the garden. And so he sent Adam into his sleep and he took one of Adam's ribs out of his side and he created woman. It's important to know that he didn't take something out of his head to make woman ahead of him. He didn't take something out of Adam's foot to make woman below him, but from his rib so that she can stand aside of him to help him rule and oversee the garden. So God had given this specific instruction to Adam, and he says, "From any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat from it you will surely die." And that is Genesis 1:16 to 17. Look, guys, I want you to see something here. You will surely die. Just, I want you to remember that, okay? Remember that. You will surely die. Remember it. You got it. You grab it. Put it in your pocket. All right, hold on to it for just a wee bit. So in Genesis 3, the serpent came and tempted Eve into eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. This is what I want you to understand, that this direct command came from God to Adam. You know, God came to Adam and he said, "Hey, Adam, this is something that I don't want you to do. You can have all of this stuff, man. All of these other blessings are for you. All of these other gifts in the garden are for you. But this is the only thing I don't want you to eat from, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. I don't want you to eat from that. I don't want you to take anything from that." Okay? He told Adam that directly. I want you to think of it like this. If you're at work, okay, and your boss came up to you and he told you a very specific direction and he said, "Hey, I need you to do this. Hey, I need you to accomplish this. Hey, I need you to work on this." You say, "Okay, sounds good. I got it. You're going to do it." But wouldn't it be different if one of your coworkers came to you and said, "Hey, you know, the boss told me to tell you to do this." You might not cherish that commandment as much as you would if it came directly from the boss to you. It might be easier to dismiss or put on the back burner because it didn't come directly from him. And that's exactly what happened here, is that God gave this command to Adam because it was from God to Adam, and he counted on Adam to deliver that message to Eve, from God to Adam to Eve. And Adam did, but you know, Eve didn't cherish that knowledge as much because of the secondhand knowledge. And so the serpent knew that going directly to Adam would have been a waste of time because Adam would have cherished that word so much more. But he went to Eve and he tempted her and said, "Hey, you know, God didn't really, you know, the only reason he, did he really, really say that you couldn't eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil? Did he really say that? Because he just doesn't want you to be like him. If you eat from it, you're going to be more like him." He tricked her into seeing, into overlooking all of her blessings, all of her gifts, everything that she was able to have in the garden. He overstepped that. He overcrowded her vision into seeing the only thing that she could not have. And then Adam, and you know, Eve ate, and she did, she gave in, she ate. Adam was led into eating from this fruit. Adam and Eve experienced a spiritual death. You remember what I told you to hold on to? Take it out of your pocket. You will surely die. They experienced death that moment they ate that fruit, a spiritual death. But suddenly they begin to recognize themselves in ways they never recognized before. "Oh my goodness, I'm naked. Oh my goodness, we gotta hide from God. Adam and Eve, where are you guys? Oh God, we're hiding. Why are you hiding? Because we're naked." They were ashamed. They were guilty because they experienced that spiritual death and they felt naked. They felt afraid. They felt a whole bundle of things they didn't feel before because they disobeyed God. An animal was shed. An animal was sacrificed to cover Adam and Eve. But listen, here's where the redemption steps onto the scene. Now I'm going to read this from the Amplified Bible because I want you to capture the power that's spoken from God during this conversation. And so this is found in Genesis 3:15, and so there's a little bit before that, but this is the part that I want to focus on. It says, "And between your seed," which means your offspring, "and her seed," which is a capital seed, I want you to hold on to that, "he shall fatally bruise your head, and you shall only bruise his heel." Okay, now this is him speaking to the serpent, you know, which was empowered and used as a manipulation tool for the devil to come and bring division between God and Adam and Eve. Yeah. And so, you know, he says, "In between your seed and her seed." Now, I want you to see this. I want you to see that her seed is capitalized. So that is a proper noun. That is something that means that it's foreshadowing our redemption onto the scene. That this capital seed means a proper noun. And a proper noun meaning that this is talking about Jesus Christ. That he's going to come and he will fatally, which means that you are about to die. Which means that you are going to die. Which means it is death. Fatality. Yeah, it is death, man. And it will only bruise his heel, meaning that Jesus is going to step onto the scene, he's going to smoke the devil's head into the ground, and then it's only going to bruise his heel. But guys, from this moment, redemption set onto the scene, that in Luke, way in the New Testament, in Luke 1, chapter 1, verse 31 and 32, and guys, now I'm getting excited, I'm getting pumped, because here's the excitement, here is where our redemption is stepping onto the scene and stepping forward to redeem us. It says that Jesus Christ enters onto the scene, man, that he is the seed that is born from Mary, a virgin, who it was revealed to have the Messiah in Luke 1:31 and 32. I'm going to pull that up for you. I'm going to read that. I wasn't going to read it. That's why I didn't have it up, but I feel like I just want to read it so that way you can just hear how amazing this is. So follow along with me, guys. Luke 1, 31 and 32, "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord of God will give him the throne of his father David." So I want you to see here that Jesus is being revealed to Mary by an angel that says, "You're going to conceive. You're going to have the Son of God. That God has found favor with you. That God's long-term plan to redeem mankind is sending his son, Jesus Christ, to be born of a virgin. Jesus put on flesh to endure the life that you and I live, to face the trials that you and I face. But Jesus overcame every trial and sin that tempted him as an example that we can do the very same thing. That when we face sin, that we have the ability to overcome." Guys, I know that it's not easy. It is very difficult because it's born into our nature. But I want you to know that we have the ability too, because Jesus set the example that we can break free from our sins as well. "And ultimately, he took our spots on a criminal's cross." That Jesus came and he was crucified on a cross. He died in our place. That cross deserved to be my place. I want you to know that. I want you to think about that. Think about your sins. Think about what you struggle with. Think about the things that you face, that you deal with whenever no one else is around. Your imperfections, whatever it is, your mentality. I don't know. But I want you to think about that. And I want you to think about your sins and think about that you have to pay for it. You know, you think about it as a debt. A debt is usually something that is a larger amount than the money that you have, and you have to make payments on it because you cannot afford the entirety of it. And so this is definitely something here, because sin was a price that was far greater than anything we can ever afford. It was death. That's what the Bible says in the book of Romans, that the wages of sin is death. So that means that we deserve death, because you remember, we ate of the tree, so we were going to experience death. But since the very beginning, we would determine to experience this death. But Jesus steps onto the scene, and Jesus comes to redeem us and to bring us life. And so he took this cross that originally belonged to us because of our punishment of sin, right? Why Jesus Christ? Why should I believe in Jesus Christ? He's our Redeemer. because we were born bound to sinful nature. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." And Ephesians 1:7 says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace." See, here is the importance of his blood. That, remember when I talked about that animal shed earlier, the reason that I included that is because an animal was shed so the skins could cover Adam and Eve on their way out of the garden, because they had to leave the garden. And so from that very after that, animals were sacrificed as a way to atone for your sins. And you read that in the book of Leviticus, that certain animals were sacrificed as a way to atone for certain sins, you know. And so the purest blood to cover every sin was the lamb. And they would have Passover. And when they would have this time of Passover, every family would have had to have this lamb that they had spent time with, that this lamb had become like a family member to them, that they would eat, that they would sleep with it, that they would tend to it, that they would feed it, that they would play with it. And they spent all this time developing this love for this lamb. And whenever it was time for Passover, they would have to bring this lamb to the high priest. And when they would bring this lamb to the high priest, they would have to look the high priest in the eyes. And then they would have to say, he would ask them, "Do you love the lamb?" And they would have to respond, "Yes, I love the lamb." And if that high priest was not convinced that they loved the lamb, he would ask them again, "Do you love the lamb?" And they would have to say, "Yes, I love the lamb." And if he was not convinced once more, he would say, "Do you love the lamb?" And they would say, "Yes, I love the lamb." And if he still was not convinced, they would be sent away with their lamb. And their family would not be atoned for that year. But Jesus steps onto the scene. The Bible mentions Jesus as the Lamb of God, the Lamb that was slain from the very foundation of the earth. That when he came and he died and his blood was shed, it covered every sin that we would not have to sacrifice again, because his sacrifice was sufficient. Because the King of Heaven stepped down from his throne, gave his life, so you can have an opportunity to know the eternal plan that was originally created for you. Guys, let me simplify this for you. Why Jesus Christ? Because in the beginning, God created the perfect life for us. God created a life where there was no suffering. Lord, when there was no suffering, he created a life that we can spend with him in fellowship, that we would have everything we need. But sin entered in and we chose sin over God. And that created separation between us and God. But God had so much love for us and a plan for our lives that he didn't want to just throw us away, but he wanted to create an opportunity to bring us back to him. And he sent his son Jesus to come and to bring that plan full circle and into motion. So why Jesus Christ? Let me ask you this. What king do you know would give his life for a peasant? Because that's definitely what we are. The King of Heaven left his throne and gave his life so that you can have an opportunity of life that lasts forever. That's what John 3:17 tells us. That Jesus didn't come to this world to condemn it, but that through him it might be saved. He didn't come here to condemn it, but to grant an opportunity for it to be saved. What king would give his life for a peasant? I want you to think about this. I want you to paint this scene in your mind of a throne room. And you're a peasant and you're going to visit this king that is sitting on the throne. You think of like Emperor's New Groove, right? Because that's kind of what I think about. So you think about Cusco. He's sitting there and people are coming in to talk to him. And he's dismissing them and he's telling them go away. And he's telling them, if you don't have anything for me, like I don't want to talk to you kind of thing. He has his own agenda. And usually a lot of time that's how it is for a king, that they have every right to turn you away. They have every right to tell, hey, guards, go kill this guy, you know, if they wanted to. That was totally their call and was no second questions, no ifs, ands, or buts. Those kings were in charge, large and in charge. But I want you to understand that our king, King Jesus, got off the throne to come and give his life so that us, the peasants, can live. What religious leader would die for you? Would Buddha die for you? Would Muhammad die for you? Would Allah die for you? Would the flying spaghetti monster die for you? What do you believe? Who do you believe in? What does eternal life mean to you? Maybe you don't think any of it's real. Friend, I encourage you today, if you don't believe any of this is real, sometimes, you know, people think this is really far-fetched, and I want you to understand that if you think that this is far-fetched, people believe in aliens, that there is life outside of this galaxy, and you know what? Maybe so. So why is it weird if I believe that my Jesus, the King of Heaven, is real? Why is it so weird to believe in Jesus, but you can believe that zombies is the end of the world and that people are going to rise from the dead and go and kill other people and take over and flood the land? Like, if you can believe in that, why is believing that Jesus loves you and has a plan for your life so far-fetched? People just don't take the time to get to know Jesus. Guys, today I want to present the opportunity to choose the King of Heaven, to believe in Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. That's why, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you so much for this opportunity to speak about King Jesus and all of the great things that he has done for us. God, I pray that if the person listening is deciding in their heart that they want to invite you to be a part of their life, then God, I pray that you would help them to be led in that direction, God, that they would get to know you, that they would fall in love with you, God, that they would find a church to get plugged into, God, that they would find a Bible and begin to learn about what you say they are. Father, I pray that you would just begin to lead those who are saying this is not real, this doesn't exist, I can't believe this. God, I pray that you would just begin to reveal to them throughout this week that you are real, Lord, that you would show them your love. God, I pray that you would just begin to just reveal yourself in places and areas of their life, wherever they may go. God, I pray for those that this is an on-time word for. God, I pray that you'd minister to their hearts. God, that they can be reminded that you came to redeem us from sin, the very thing that came to destroy our lives and to separate us from the glorious purpose that you have for us. God, I pray that this word would just be something that would be recalled to our memory. God, it'd be something that would stick with us, that we can be reminded of all the days of our life. God, I thank you that you gave your life so that we can live. Father, and I just love you, for you are so, so good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So guys, if you made that decision that you want to follow Jesus, here's how you do it. The Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 10 that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and we believe in our heart that God had resurrected him from the grave, and that means that it brings you to a place of salvation. So here's what I want to encourage you to do next. I want you to get a Bible, something that you can understand. It doesn't have to be the King James Bible, but something that matches your understanding and what you're able to comprehend. I want you to read the book of John and get familiarized with who this Jesus guy is. And I want you to stick around for the next few episodes of this podcast to see why Jesus Christ? Why should you follow him? Why is he the only way? You know, why isn't it these other people? Guys, this has been your boy, the Muffin Man, with another episode of Refresh Podcast, where Christ goes before us so we can bring you another refreshing word. Guys, I love you so much. I pray that you have a most amazing time of your week. And remember that Jesus Christ loves you.